Going to take about 15 minutes and ask if people want to ask questions of our panelists while we have the opportunity before we break for for more one-on-one discussion. Yes. We're recording this, and so Well, why don't we ask the speaker to go over there, and you can, questioner, and then other people who want to ask questions, why don't you, if you can, go over there to where the microphone is, and then you could be in line.
I'll hold it. I would like to ask Dr. Wapple, did I kill your name?
No, that's okay.
One of the things you said up there was that the size of the ice is as small as it was projected to be in 2050 already. When was that projection made?
Last year.
2006?
Yeah, those projections, the IPCC work on those projections and work on all kinds of different elements of climate change in the 5 years running up to that report that was released in February 2007. So most of those model runs are finished, within a year or two of the report release. So we're probably largely underestimating what's happening in the Arctic. It's very complicated in the Arctic, but generally speaking, nearly all scientists now are saying clearly this is a result of human activity, and we've just started the downhill trajectory here.
So let me understand, what was supposed to happen in 43 years happened in one?
Well, next year it might go up a little bit, and there'll be some variability, but yes. I can't argue.
All right, the next person.
I have a question for, I think it's David in the town
David?
Planning. I think it's very impressive what's being done in terms of our building on campus and in town to make energy efficient buildings. But as I drive around town and I see some of these new subdivisions that are going up, one of the things that really concerns me is all the clear cutting of the trees that's being done. And it seems to me, I heard somewhere that one tree consumes 47 pounds of carbon dioxide a year. And if you multiply all that by all the trees that are being clear cut, I'm wondering what the town is doing about why this has to happen and what the town is doing about regulating this. And you see these huge homes going up, which is even consuming more, so it seems even a more detrimental effect. What is doing
that? I'm going to answer that. I've got two things to say about that. One is that the town is committed to strengthening the tree ordinance, but strengthening the tree ordinance doesn't mean there won't be clear cutting. The fact is that we have made a decision, and we made it in 1985, that we would set our urban growth boundary and that we weren't going to get any bigger geographically, physically, but we are going to get denser. And the trade-off for that is greater density within the urban services boundary and rural areas in Orange County. And that's why when you come to Chapel Hill, it's one of the few places in the country where you just don't see sprawl. We're not sprawling because we're not providing urban services outside of the boundary. If you cross I-40 to the north, you're in the rural area. You're not in the city services area. If you go out west of Carrboro, because Carrboro and Chapel Hill have entered into this agreement together with Orange County. But the fact is that as we grow, we are going to continue to have more people. And if we're going to accommodate more people, we are going to have areas of development.
Yeah, it just seems like maybe there could be some adjustment where they're just not totally, and I don't
well,
know.
Well, for example, East
of
54, you all know where that is, the best Western University in there. Beautiful trees there, right in front of the motel. And some of them are going down, but some of them are going to be preserved. And the developer worked with the town to ensure that. So it's really a case-by-case basis, other than the fact that, when we say that we're going to tighten the rules on the tree ordinance, what we're talking about doing is not letting you cut down the trees in your yard unless you have a good reason. So that's a discussion that this community is going to have. How far do we want to go in regulating private property, our individual rights? What is the balance? And one of the things that we've discovered in our research on the tree ordinance is that the value of a tree is enormous. There are people in the Triangle who will pay $50,000 or $60,000 for a mature tree so that they can put it on their newly built estate. So there's economic value to the tree canopy in addition to the character that it brings to our community and the environmental benefits that trees bring to our community.
I just had a question for Dr. Webb again. One of the things that concerned me, I've read a bit about climate change lately, is about the possibility for abrupt climate change, that even in the ice core records, we all think about climate change as being, it happens over tens and hundreds of thousands of years. Even sort of pre-human, it's happened on the course of 10 to 40 years. We've had, you'll get temperature changes of many degrees Celsius and, it'll go into a cold spell or whatever. So I guess what's alarming to me is, given all the evidence that you've shown, I think it's quite compelling just on its own. And if you add the fact that, if it happened in the past, certainly could happen again. And if you add that with the, you can easily conclude that humans do have a serious impact, so we're adding in something that wasn't being added even before when it happened that fast. I think that, who knows whether it'll happen, but it's a dangerous experiment. I think that's what's most scary. And I don't know if NOAA has a program addressing abrupt climate change or anything like that.
Actually, it does. It just got a lot of money from the federal government to address abrupt climate change and to further investigate. And that will probably be done by people who already have a lot of experience with the past climate record and the abrupt change that went on at the ice age transitions and all of that. One of the reasons for avoiding anything above a 450 part per million greenhouse gas increase is the thought that you will cross many more of these thresholds that lead to abrupt climate change once you reach that sort of level. We already see it with individual glaciers. We're seeing it with the Arctic sea ice now, that the change will be much more abrupt than we would have thought. And there are other ocean circulation issues and things like that, if you end up with a lot more evaporation from the ocean, for example, it gets really salty and sinks, or you end up with a lot of ice melt and it gets really fresh and doesn't sink, and that's what drives the ocean circulation. So you could end up with drastic changes within a couple of decades in Europe and in the Northeast primarily. But yeah, there's going to be lots of surprises as we go through, and scientists are not going to be able to predict everything.
Other questions?
I actually have a question for this young man to Mayor Foy. He asked me to read it for him.
Okay.
The question is, what can we do to make neighborhood associations accept clotheslines rather than always using dryers?
Well, that's a good question. Verla might be able to answer that, because
I should add that the town, the mayor's office, got a request to add to this upcoming meeting's agenda an item on this very topic.
The issue has to do with what homeowners associations can regulate and what the town or the state can regulate. And this first came up in the context of solar panels, where some homeowners associations wouldn't permit them because of appearance or other issues. And the state stepped in, and there's now statewide legislation that preempts the homeowners association.
Right. That was, I guess, Senate Bill 670 prevents municipalities from banning the use of solar panels.
Right. So it would be the same kind of an approach. And anything like that, of course, is subject to a lot of input.
I have a question on clarification. There's been a lot of talk about reduction in carbon emissions, both the university, the town, and the community. And whenever the percentages are thrown out, is that the percentage for the whole town, or is that the percentage per capita? And obviously, with the town growing, per capita is not going to be enough.
That's a good point, Lauren. Do you have a comment on that, David?
The simple answer, and is Dave Stansel still here? Maybe he can help me out with this. On our greenhouse gas study, it's a reduction from the total, not a per capita amount. And there is still a lot of debate about how to incorporate the fact that some of the communities, all the communities, will grow. And as you say, a per capita amount would be less than a total. But that, I think, is one of the issues that will be discussed when the report is made public and the recommendations are put before the elected bodies.
Yes.
People need a little initiative to help them with conservation. And I think some of the measures that have been done, like OWASA with progressive water rates, is a great initiative. My question is, what is the state going to do to set more progressive energy rates for electricity usage, which I think would be a great thing to help people conserve?
Well, I'll ask Verla to speak to that.
Well, I think the main thing that we need to do is to get people elected across the state who are more progressive. The Utilities Commission sets the rates, and I always think that the governing board has a lot to do with that. You have to get the right people appointed to the Utilities Commission, and you have to, in order to do that, you have to be electing the right people. We are, every year in the General Assembly, getting more progressive young people in, and so there's a gradual change in that. But we are going to be looking at multiple ways. There is the Climate Study Committee will continue to work in this interim, and they'll be looking at multiple ways of addressing this issue. And I will mention to them a rate study. I think that would I'd be glad to do that.
Cindy.
There is a little bit of progress that's starting to be made as a result of the Cliffside ruling, which you can argue whether that's progress, but there is a approval for a new coal-fired power plant that Duke Energy has been given. But one of the provisions for being given the approval for one plant instead of two, as they requested, is that they use 1% of their revenues to create efficiency programs. So Duke and Progress are both starting to develop more efficiency programs, but relative to utilities around the country, they've been pretty slow off the mark. If you look at some of the municipally owned utilities around the country, there are tremendous incentives for their customers to save. They receive technical assistance in designing new buildings. They receive rebates for energy efficiency measures in those new buildings. They receive rebates for new appliances. Customers receive rebates for new appliances that they purchase. There's a utility in Vermont, Efficiency in Vermont, that doesn't even own any generating capacity. It only sells efficiency, but the business model in this state has to change so that utilities receive a return on their investment in efficiency, which probably means that our rate per kilowatt hour needs to go up to discourage consumption, but then the efficiency rates would result then. The increased investment in efficiency would result in a lower bill for those customers who practice more energy efficiency. But that's a politically difficult argument to make, that the rate per kilowatt hour should go up. And that's probably what we're looking at if we want to see major investments in efficiency. So that's going to be a real big political conversation over the next few years.
Let me just add one thing. You all may or may not know that the rates right now, rate structure is
okay. If you use less air conditioning in the summer, off season, that your rate actually goes up. So there are some issues that we need to address because it discourages conservation. The rate structure discourages conservation. So that is an issue that's being discussed a lot in Raleigh. So.
All right, we're going to move on to the next part of the program, which is Amy McDonald from the Environmental Resource Program at the University of North Carolina. Where is Amy? All right, Amy, come on forward. And Amy's going to talk about carbon reduction and community-wide action.
Okay, so I'm going to stand over here, and I hope everyone can see. And I have with me tonight Nathan Lee, who was the very astute young man who asked the question about the clotheslines. And he's a seventh grader at Smith Middle School, and he has been studying global warming. So he is the official laboratory assistant tonight. So I have four containers here. And the first one, if Nathan could hold that up so everyone can see, that's the town of Chapel Hill's carbon dioxide emissions. And we're at about 13,000 pounds per year. We also have a population of about 52,000 people here in Chapel Hill. And you'll notice that there are people of different mindsets and different places in the journey along sustainability. We also have about 52 elected officials in Chapel Hill. And these are our connectors and our great leaders to link us to the policy process. And then, perhaps most importantly, we have the youth of Chapel Hill, and 10,000 of them. And it's no coincidence that these are the smarties. So, okay, so the next question is, what stands between the citizens of Chapel Hill and our carbon emissions? Anybody? So here we have the tools, we have the solutions, the technology, the future leaders. And so what's missing?
The will.
The will, the motivation, exactly. So if we were to mix up all of our citizens and our leaders and our youth and put them in this container, all right, so we have a full pot here. Okay, so if we were to just put one person taking an action to reduce their carbon footprint in the carbon, so what would happen? Not much, but it's something, right? So those postcards that you have, that's something. But if we were to put this whole container against our carbon, what's going to happen? Takes a while, which we kind of know, and it's not necessarily a clean and straightforward process, but you'll see that obviously if we work together that we can have great results, and it's what we actually need to move forward to addressing our carbon problem. So I would like to invite everyone now to join us next door for, after we finish a few remarks, for a conversation. And we want to hear from you. What are your solutions? And we have some paper up, and we really want to get these things jotted down and start having these conversations for the whole community and not just individual solutions. So thank you very much, and thanks to Nathan.
Okay, thank you. We have blocked your exit at the back. The police chief is here, but the fire chief is not, so we can get away with this. And we're going to be asking you to exit that way because we want to capture you, and we're going to want you to talk about this with each other and with our panel. But before we do that, I want to introduce Carlo Robustelli from the mayor's office. Carlo is the person who really spearheaded this evening's events, and I want to thank him for that.
Thank you. First, I want to thank everybody for coming. This has been an excellent event. And so this is the moment you've all been waiting for, the Blue Line Energy Monitor Raffle, courtesy of Southern Energy Management. The way to do it, everybody who's still here is eligible to win, and whoever's birthday is either on my birthday or closest to wins. August 29th. Anybody here anywhere near August 29th? So who is the 23rd is still, I think, winning. Anybody closer? Ooh, who's that? Raise your hand.
So, yeah.
The least amount of days, I guess if it's equal, then we'll have to pick a new date. The second? Okay, so the second it is. Who? Where are you? There are two people that were September 2nd? So second. Great. All right. Congratulations. Take this along with this card. Southern Energy Manage is actually not only giving it away, but installing it for free. He just has to give them a call, and they'll come to his house.
All right. Okay, thank you all again, and please have some refreshments and continue the conversation.